Happy New Year, everybody, and welcome to 2019. You know, I've been praying for you and everybody else in our church family that this year will be your greatest year yet. Now, before we look at God's Word this weekend, I want to say a couple things. First, thank you for bringing your friends to Christmas services. You know, over 65,000 people came to a Saddleback Christmas service just a week or so ago, and that was a record for us. In all of our campuses. So congratulations, everybody, to each campus. I love you and I'm proud of you. Second, I'm more excited about this new year than I've been in a long, long time. We are planning some amazing benefits and blessings and events for you this year. Third, to kick us off in 2019, on the last weekend of this month, we're going to have a very special service you don't want to miss. It's going to launch our 40th year together as a church family. You know, we started Saddleback, Kay and I, 40 years ago that weekend in 1980. And it, by the way, it also happens to be my 65th birthday. So I want to invite you all to my birthday party that weekend. And our elders are planning some special events. I actually don't know what they're planning. I will tell you this, I don't want any presents. I don't need anything. I want your presence. So here's the point. On birthday party weekend, my 65th birthday, your presence is your present. Just show up and bring a friend. Now, if you take out your message notes, today I want to finish a message that I started at Christmas, actually on the importance of cooperating with God's timing in your life. We're starting this new series on foundation of a life well lived. And I want to start with talking about the timing in your life. Remember at Christmas, I said that every great accomplishment involves the element of timing. You know, there are a lot of football playoffs on now these days, and a successful catch in a football game requires incredible timing between a quarterback and the receiver. And if they don't have the timing spot on, there's just no reception. There's no touchdown. The same is true in business success. Whether it's an investment or whether it's a new project or a new plan, good timing in the market, good timing in knowing when to hire, when to expand. Timing is everything in business success. Same thing in music. If you're a singer, if you're a musician, you must know how to keep time. If you can't keep time, please get off the stage, because timing is everything. Now, when I wrote the book Purpose Driven Church many, many years ago, the first chapter of that book in Purpose Driven Church is called Surfing Spiritual Waves. And in that chapter, I compare leadership to surfing. And the parallel is this: surfers don't try to create waves. No surfer goes out and goes, let's go make some waves today. Surfers can't create waves. Only God can create waves. Surfers wait for the waves that God creates. And for 39 years, we've done that here at Saddleback Church. The Bible calls it walking in the Spirit. We don't go out and try to make waves. What we do is look around and say, what is God doing in the world? And then we say, there's a wave coming, and we want to jump on that and go with that. But it all has to do with timing. When you're a surfer, you spend a lot of your time actually just waiting. And you see a wave come in, go, no, we're not going to catch that one. No, we're not going to catch that one. We're not going to catch that one. And then you go, here comes a big wave, and you get ready. And about the right time, you have to have the exact timing to start paddling and paddling faster and faster. And then you catch that wave, you ride that wave, and then you know how to, need to know how to get off the wave without wiping out. Surfing looks easy, but it's actually quite complicated, and it requires a lot of balance. It requires a lot of skill. Now, the same is true as in life, that you have to have a certain kind of skill to understand timing in your life, timing on every detail of your life. Now, look at this verse at the top of your outline. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 6, there is a right time and there is a right way to do everything, but we know so little. Everybody agree with that verse? There's a right time and a right way to do everything, but we know so little. And what this verse is saying is that we can get it wrong. We can do the right thing in the wrong timing. We can have the right timing and do it in the wrong way. It takes skill. The skill of life, of knowing how to time, to follow God's timing, to follow the Spirit, is a skill that can be learned. That's a good thing. Skills can be learned. Now, there is a rhythm. There's a rhythm to life. There is a rhythm to love. Actually, there's a rhythm to leadership. Wise people know how to cooperate with that rhythm of when to speed up, when to slow down, when to go fast, when to go slow. Spiritually, as I said, it's called walking in the Spirit. And the more you grow as a follower of Christ, the more you're going to understand and get better at walking in the Spirit, which involves following God's timing. You learn to sense when to go fast and when to go slow. Now, you know, we're facing a brand new year here, and I thought one of the first skills you need to learn in a foundation for a life well lived is knowing how to cooperate with God's timing. Know when to speed up, know when to slow down. Of course, the Bible has a lot to say about it. Did you know that the Bible has a lot to say about running? The Bible has a lot to say about running. The Bible compares life to a race. And the Bible tells us over and over again, we are to run the race. Not jog it, we are to run the race. And if you look at Jesus' life and you look at Jesus' ministry, you find that he had an incredible sense of urgency. In fact, 15 times in the life of Christ and in the Gospels, the word immediately is used to describe something Jesus did. The word Jesus and the word immediately are used in the same sentence 15 times in the Bible. It says, and immediately Jesus did this, and immediately Jesus did that. He had a sense of urgency in his life. Paul was the same way. The Apostle Paul also had a sense of urgency. Let me show you some screen verses. Look up here on the screen. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 6:12 in the Message, run hard and fast in the faith. Notice it says run. And here's another one, 1 Corinthians 9:24, run in such a way as to get the prize. This is talking about fast, when you need to move fast in life. Run in such a way to get the prize. 1 Corinthians 9:26 in the New Living says, I run straight to the goal with purpose in every step. Paul was purpose-driven. I run straight to the goal with purpose in every step. Philippians 3:12 in God's Word translation, he says, I run to win. He says, I run. So there are times when God wants you to move very, very fast. Some of you go, don't like to run. But there are some times God says, I want you to move fast in life. But the Bible also has a lot to say about going slow, about waiting, about taking your time, about being patient. So what I want to do today as we kick off this new year and this new series is simply ask two questions. When should I move fast in this new year? And when should I move slow in this new year? Knowing the difference and being prepared to speed up or slow down will make a huge difference in the success of your life in the next 365 days. So get out your pencil and take some notes. You're going to need this year. When does God want me to move fast? And when does God want me to move slow in this new year? Now, this is not an exhaustive list. It would be a very long sermon if I did. It's just representative. There are many, many more times in Scripture than just the verses I'm going to show you today where it tells God says to move fast or to move slow. But I want to show you some key ones, okay? So write these down. First, when should I move fast this year? Number one, I should move fast when God tells me to do something. I should move fast when God tells me to do something. The Bible is filled with instructions for life. The Bible calls them commands. It calls them precepts. It calls them instructions. And God expects us to obey his commands. Those of you who are parents, what if your child said to you, you know, you ask them to go do something and or you tell them to go do something and your child says, well, you know, thanks, but I'll think about it. Well, they wouldn't think about it very long. You say, no, you're not going to think about it. You're going to go do it. And yet we say that to God all the time. Every parent knows that delayed obedience is disobedience. And the same is true with God. When God says, I want you to do this, I'm telling you to do this, and you say, I'll think about it, you're being disobedient. So look at this verse. In Mark chapter 1, verse 17 and 18, Jesus said to them, come follow me. So Simon and Andrew, notice, immediately, circle that, immediately left their nets and followed him. Do you realize what they're doing here? They're actually walking away from their careers. They're walking away from their fishing business. They're leaving their jobs. And the Bible says they did it immediately. That's fast. When God asks you to do something, you do it immediately. Psalm 119, verse 60 says this, without delay, I hurry to obey your command. Now, you know, in today's world, hurry is a negative word. It's a bad word. We say you never want to be in a hurry. And when people are hurried, they're often worried. But when it comes to obedience, hurry is always a good quality. It's a good thing. I should be in a hurry to do what God has told me to do. And the moment God tells me to do it, I start doing it. So here's my question as we start this new year. What has God told you to do that you still haven't done? Maybe told you that last year or even longer than a year ago. Has he told you to be baptized? You need to do it now. Has he told you to spend time with him every day? You need to do it now. Has he told you to stop robbing God and tithe your income, as he said to you? You need to do it now. Has he told you to, you know, invite a friend or a coworker to church? What are you waiting on? I should move fast when God tells me to do something. Delayed obedience is disobedience, all right? Let's move on because we got a lot to cover. Number two, I should move fast when I need to ask or offer forgiveness. I should move fast when I need to ask for or offer forgiveness. Now, there are a lot of reasons to do this, to ask for forgiveness, offer forgiveness. But one of the big reasons that may surprise you is that you need to forgive quickly for your own health. Medical research has shown us that your body, the human body, was not designed to carry either guilt or resentment, or shame for that matter. You got to let it go. When you hold on to guilt, something you feel bad about that you've done, or when you hold on to resentment, something somebody else has done to you that you're mad about and you're bitter about, it's like holding, like drinking poison. It's going to eat you alive. Jesus said it like this, Matthew chapter 5, verse 23 and 24. If you're giving an offering at worship and suddenly you remember that someone has something against you, leave your offering and go immediately to that person and be reconciled. He says, then you can come back to worship and offer your gift. Now, notice this verse. You should never use worship as an offer or as an excuse to procrastinate. It says if you're sitting there and people are, you're passing the offering baskets and all of a sudden you remember that there's somebody you haven't forgiven or you haven't asked forgiveness from, it says get up and go. So by the way, today when we give our offerings, if anybody gets up, you know that's okay. They're going because they need to go confess a sin to somebody or go ask forgiveness. But he says, then come back and offer your gift. In other words, never use worship as an excuse to procrastinate or to delay. So here's my second question as we start a new year. Who do you need to reconcile with? Who do you need to forgive? Who do you need to let go of either guilt or bitterness or resentment? Who do you need to repair? God says now, not tomorrow, not next month, not next year. I should move fast. When God tells me to do something, I should move fast when I need to ask for or offer forgiveness. Number three, the Bible says I should move fast when I feel tempted. Yeah, when you feel tempted, you should move out of the situation rapidly. In fact, if you want to defeat temptation, you're going to have many temptations in this new year. You're going to need both preventative tactics to keep you from being tempted, and you're going to need emergency tactics when you're in the situation. Let me talk to you about that second one, the emergency tactics. When you are in the moment and all of a sudden you are tempted to do something you know is self-defeating or not God-honoring, here's what you do. You don't argue with temptation. Never argue with temptation. Why? Because you're going to lose. Satan has been arguing for thousands of years longer than you. And if you try to argue with your conscience, with the devil, or anything else, you're going to lose. The Bible tells us that the key to overcoming temptation is not to resist it, but to run from it. Don't argue, just get out of the building. Don't fight it, flee it. Get out, get away. You know, if you're watching something on TV, you go, that's tempting me to eat something, or to lust, or to do something else, to get mad or to get angry with somebody, or to be prejudiced or whatever, turn the channel. You don't fight it, you flee. You don't resist it, you run, you escape. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 6:11, run from all evil things. That means move fast. You don't kind of casually walk away from a temptation. In other words, if you're dealing, you're struggling with alcohol in your life, you don't go to a bar to eat the pretzels. You run away from it. You get away from whatever the situation. 1 Corinthians 10:14 says, run away from the worship of idols. Now you go, well, shoot, I don't have any idols in my house. Who are you kidding? You say, well, idols, there's no big statue of a false god in my house. Let me ask it another way. Who or what do you idolize? Do you idolize success? Do you idolize beauty? Do you idolize your favorite sport? Do you idolize social media? Anything you put before God is an idol. So we don't have the idols that look like stone figures or wooden figures. The idols in our lives today, often you carry them in your wallet, or they're in a catalog, or they're in a book, or they're on TV, or they're parked in your driveway. The Bible says, run from idols. Run. It says, get away from them as fast as you can. And here's another verse, 1 Corinthians 6:18. Run away from sexual sin. In other words, don't just kind of, well, I'm going to think about getting out of this situation. No, it says run away. You flee it. If you don't want to get stung by the bees, get away from the hive. Those are times you need to move fast. When God tells you to do something, when you need to forgive or ask for forgiveness, and when you're being tempted, move fast, run. Number four, I should move fast this next year when I've made a promise to God. When you make a promise to God, fulfill it quickly. Don't wait on it. Don't delay. Again, a delayed promise is an unfulfilled promise. We've all made promises to God. We've all made vows to God. We've all made New Year's resolutions that we've forgotten or we got lazy about. But the Bible says when I made a promise to God, I need to fulfill it quickly. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 4 says this: when you make a promise to God, keep it as quickly as possible. So what have you promised to God? Keep it as quickly as possible. He isn't happy with foolish people. Do what you promised to do. So as we start this new year, here's another poignant or pointed question. What promise do you need to fulfill right now? What do you need to fulfill this week? What do you need to fulfill today? Do you need to go home and make a call? Have you made a promise to share your faith with somebody? Have you made a promise to read through the Bible and you've never done it? Have you made a promise, I'm going to start serving, one of these days? You know, we've been for the last 3 years in what we've called our Daring Faith campaign. And we have these big goals for our church that we're doing together, F-A-I-T-H. And one of those things, part of the Daring Faith campaign included giving commitments that all of us made about 3 years ago. Have you kept your promise to God? Have you finished your commitment? We're coming up on the ending of it. Keep your promise. Fulfill your goal, your role, your vow. Finish your commitment. Let me tell you something. There is almost nothing that God won't do for the person who keeps their promises to him. There is almost nothing that God won't do to those who keep their promises to him. So move fast. When you've made a promise to God, you've made a New Year's resolution, you made a vow, then you keep that promise. Let me give you a couple more. First, number five, I should move fast when I have the opportunity to do good. The Bible says this over and over and over, that when I see an opportunity to do something good for somebody else, I shouldn't delay, I shouldn't procrastinate, I shouldn't wait, I shouldn't think about it. I should move fast, I should do it immediately. Now every day, and God gives you little tests to practice kindness. And this next year, all for 365 days, God is gonna test you every day by giving you opportunities to put people in your life who have an obvious need, a physical need, an emotional need, a need for encouragement, a need for a word of kindness. And he gives you these little tests. And God says, are you going to do something about it right when you have the opportunity? Proverbs 3, verse 27 says this: do not withhold good from those who deserve it, while it is in your power to act. I call this the Nike verse of the Bible, Proverbs 3:27. Just do it. Don't go, well, you see some homeless person, don't think, I got to help the homeless someday. Just do it. Help them right then. You see somebody who needs help in a physical way or an emotional way, just do it right then. You know, we make all kinds of excuses. And one of our favorite excuses for all the things that you intend to do in life that you know are good, but you haven't done them yet, one of our favorite excuses is this one. You know, when things settle down, when things settle down, then I'm going to get serious about this. When things settle down, I'm going to do what I've always known God wanted me to do, what I've always wanted to do. When things settle down, let me give you a little hint. They won't. They're not going to settle down. Okay. Look at this verse on the screen here. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 4, if you wait for perfect conditions, you will never get anything done. Anybody want to give a testimony about that verse? If you wait for perfect conditions, there's never a right time, to become a parent. There's never a right time to get married. There's never a right time. If you're waiting for a perfect condition to, then I'll start reading my Bible. Then I'll start tithing. Then I'll get involved in a ministry. You're never going to get anything done because there are never any perfect conditions on this planet. Now, the reason for doing it now, all these reasons, like when the Bible says hurry, run, do it now, the reason for doing it now is this. You don't have any guarantee of tomorrow. There's no guarantee. In John chapter 9, verse 4, Jesus says this, all of us must quickly, circle that, all of us must quickly carry out the tasks assigned to us by the Father who sent me, because there's little time left before the night falls and all work will come to an end. You aren't guaranteed tomorrow, much less next week or next year. So as we start this new year, what did you intend to get done last year that you're still saying one of these days, or when I get around to it, or at the right time? No, what do you need to get done now? What kind act have you been intending to do for your neighbor and you still haven't done it? What act of hospitality are you waiting on? Let me give you one more. This is the most important. I mentioned this at Christmas, but I want to bring it up again. I should move fast, number 6, when God offers me salvation. And the truth is, some of you have been putting off stepping across the line. You've been coming to Saddleback for some time now, maybe weeks, maybe months, maybe years. You came with your husband or your wife or a friend, but you still haven't stepped across the line. You say, well, I intend to decide one of these days for Christ. You know, I used to have a poster when I was a teenager on the wall of my bedroom, and it said this, not to decide is to decide. Not to decide is to decide. When you say not yet, you're saying no to Christ. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 6:2, God is ready to help you right now. Today is a day of salvation. And I'd be happy to help you settle this at the end of today's message. So these are 6 things God says, I want you to do rapidly. I want you to do quickly. I want you, when these things come up in your life in this new year, do them fast. Don't wait. Now, on the other hand, not everything in life requires a fast response. There's a rhythm to life. There's an ebb and flow. There are waves to life. And the Bible says in Proverbs 14, verse 29, look at this verse on your outline. The Bible says, it's smart to be patient. Now, what does that mean? Well, it means the exact opposite of what we just talked about. Sometimes you need to move slow. Sometimes you move fast. Sometimes you move slowly. So when should I move slowly this year? This is a skill you can learn. Well, let me give you just a few examples. This is not exhaustive, but these are ones that are just come over and over again in Scripture when God tells us we need to move slowly, all right? Write these down. This next year, you should always move slowly first when I don't have all the facts. When I don't have all the facts, then I should move slowly. You know, today our culture thinks impulsiveness is cool. In fact, we worship spontaneity. We think if you don't think about it, then it's authentic. If you plan it, it's inauthentic. That's just not true. It's a lie. Our culture thinks that doing it on the spur of the moment is the more classy or cool or authentic thing to do. And one of the things you hear all the time is, well, just go with your gut. Friends, that's often a terrible reason to make a decision. Go with your gut. You may have just ate something bad. Don't always go with your gut. Your gut is often wrong. And you know that. You have a history of your gut being wrong. It's a terrible reason. You know, we're in a society today where everything, all the movies teach, follow your heart. Like that's the most important truth in life. Follow your heart. Trust the force, Luke. Look inside. Follow your heart. You know the truth is, your heart lies to you all the time. How many times have I told you, you lie to yourself more than anybody else? Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You lie to yourself all the time. You tell things are better than they really are when they're not, or they're not as good when they're better than you think they are. What you really need this new year is not to trust your gut. What you really need this year is not to follow your heart. What you really need to do this year is you need an objective source of truth beyond yourself that you can rely on more than your feelings, because feelings often lead us in the wrong direction. Let me show you some scriptures from the Bible. Proverbs 19:2, zeal, that's enthusiasm, zeal without knowledge is not good. In other words, the person who, they're all excited to do something, but they don't have the facts yet. That's not good. And notice the rest of the verse. A person who moves too quickly may go the wrong way. How many people do you know, they just wanted to make a decision and it didn't matter if it was right or wrong. They just want to make a decision. They're spontaneous, but they end up going the wrong way. Enthusiasm without having the facts is not good. So you need to slow down when you don't have all the facts. Okay. Proverbs 18:13 in the Living Bible says this: to decide before knowing the facts is shameful and stupid. So on your major decisions, you want to get those facts before you know what to do. And don't just rely on your gut. Don't just rely on your feelings. Don't rely on your impulses. The Bible says that's not smart. That's when you need to slow down. Number two, this next year, you should move slowly, and I should move slowly, when I'm hurt or angry. You should always move slowly when you're hurt or when you're angry. And if you want to, you could write in there also depressed too. When I'm hurt or I'm angry or I'm depressed. Never make a major decision when you're hurt or you're angry or you're depressed. If I were to ask you to, I'm not going to ask you to do this, but how many of you have made a bad decision when you were upset? The answer is 100% of us. We react, we retaliate, we respond. We don't really think through, and we often make the wrong decision. So when do you slow down? When I'm hurt, when I'm angry, when I'm depressed. James 1:19 says this: everyone should be quick to listen. That means you're getting the facts. Slow to speak and slow to become angry. Now, do you see the rhythm in that verse? It says quick, slow, slow. Quick, slow, slow. Quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. If you do the first two, the third's automatic. If you're quick to listen and you're slow to speak, you will be slow to get angry. On the other hand, most of the time, we are slow to listen, we're quick to speak, and we're quick to get angry. And as a result, we mess up relationships, we have all kinds of conflict in our friendships and our marriages, because we're quick to speak, and we're not slow to speak, we're quick to speak. So it says, be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to get angry. There's a time you need to slow down. Here's another verse, Proverbs 14:29. Whoever is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who is quick-tempered, in other words, you're in a hurry, makes foolish mistakes. Let me show you a couple more verses up here on the screen. The Bible says in Proverbs 15:28, the godly think before speaking. It's New Living Translation. And it means put your mind in gear before you put your mouth in gear. And let me tell you, especially when you need to do that, social media. Don't just get hooked by some troll. Don't get hooked in some argument. The more time, you know who's on social media? Angry people argumentative people, ugly people, critical people, unhappy and depressed people. Whatever you spend the most time with is what you're going to become like. And if you're constantly checking your social media, guess what you're going to become like? If all those people are always mad at this and mad at that and mad at this and upset at that and rebellious against this, you're going to become rebellious. You're going to become angry. You're going to become worried. You're going to become fearful. The Bible says in Proverbs 15, verse 18, losing your temper causes trouble, but staying calm settles arguments. So that's a third, a second time to be slow is when you're hurt or when you're angry or when you're depressed. Okay, let me give you another one. Number three, I should move slowly this next year when making a major decision. When making any major decision. The Bible has a lot to say about this. We could do a whole series on it, but I'll just save you a whole lot of heartache. Some of you are in a hurry on a major decision and you're headed into a brick wall. You get in a hurry to get married and you're gonna hit a brick wall. Let me give you, for some of you are in a hurry to get married, let me give you my best marriage advice. Two words. This will save you $1,000. Go slow. Go through all four seasons of a year with somebody. See them when they're happy, sad, sick, depressed, when their stomach's upset, when they're not feeling good. Go through all the seasons of life. Why? Because dating is a phony, false environment. Dating is a terrible way to choose a life partner. Why? Because on dates, you're on your best behavior. You look your best. You smell your best. You talk your best. You act your best. You're not at all that way in real life. It's when you're on a date, you're stunning. Okay. I mean, during dating, a man will talk to a woman for 3 hours on the phone. Now, what man would do that in real life? Nobody. But during dating, during that phony season, they'll talk, and they think, oh, he's such a relational person. Well, he's on a man on a mission, and he'll bring you flowers, and he'll go to opera. No man would go to an opera in real life. So you just don't trust that kind of environment. You know, I heard this week about a couple that chose to wait 10 years to get married for the sake of their children from previous relationships. This is in our church, Saddleback Church. A couple in our church chose to wait 10 years to get married while their kids from other relationships were growing up. So they dated each other and they remained sexually pure before God. And then once their kids were grown and ready, and then they finally got married. They went out on a honeymoon. That was an incredibly unselfish move. It was also an incredibly mature move. They chose to go slow when they could have gone fast, but they didn't. Let me show you a couple of verses. Proverbs 21:29. Wicked people bluff their way through life, but God's people think before they take a step. So my question is, what major decision are you facing right now that you just need to slow down on? Let me say that again. What major decision are you going to face in this new year? And you just need to slow down on it. Don't get in a hurry. Don't rush it. Pause. Put on the brake. Sometimes you should go fast, but God says in major decisions you should go slow. Proverbs 4:26, ponder the path of your feet. Then all your ways will be sure. What does ponder mean? That's an old English word. It simply means carefully consider the direction of your life. Ponder, think about it, meditate on it. Carefully consider the direction of your life. You know what? You can't ponder fast. I thought about it for 30 seconds. I'm going to do this. No, you need to really think about it. That applies to career moves. It applies to ministry. It applies to marriage. It applies to major financial purchases. The Bible says in Proverbs 22, verse 3, sensible people see trouble coming and avoid it, but an unthinking person will walk right into it and regret it later. Boy, we all know that one. You know, by the way, do you know where the number one place this happens? Unthinking, impulsive, bad decisions? in your spending. That's why you're in debt. Impulse buying. Do you see the word in January? Sale. Impulse buying. This gets more people in trouble. You need to slow down. Proverbs 21, verse 5. Look at this verse on the screen. Plan carefully what you do, and you'll have plenty. Plan carefully, and you'll have plenty. If you act too quickly, you will never have enough. Now, what is plan carefully in your spending? Well, that a planned spending is called a budget. And you need, if you have impulsive buying, if you're in debt, you need to nip it in the budget, B-U-D-G-E-T. How do you spell relief? Budget. That means plan your spending. If you act too quickly, oh, I see it, I want it, you're never going to have enough. You'll always be in debt. You need to ask, here's the question. I want everybody to write this question down because this kind of summarizes this point. You need to ask, what do I need to do today in order to get where I want to be tomorrow? Ask, what do I need to do today that to get where I want to be tomorrow? What do I need to do at the beginning of the year that will get me to where I want to be at the end of this year? That takes planning. It takes slow thinking. Let me give you another one. I should move slowly this year when I'm waiting for a seed that I've planted to grow. I should move slowly when I'm waiting for a seed that I've planted to grow. You know, the Bible talks about sowing and reaping, harvest, that you plant your seed and then you reap a crop. This happens in every area of your life. If you plant kindness, you reap kindness. If you plant joy, you reap joy. If you plant gossip, you reap gossip. Whatever you plant, you will reap. Whatever you sow, you reap. If you plant anger in your kids, you're going to reap anger from your kids. If you plant jealousy, you're going to get jealousy back, and on. Whatever you plant in life, you're going to get back. But in planting, there is always a delay between planting and harvest. You don't put a seed in the ground and next day have an apple tree. There's always a delay between planting and harvest. Every year I plant vegetables. 2 years ago, I planted 56 kinds of vegetables. I didn't plant it and the next day get what I wanted. Now, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 to 5, is a very famous passage of scripture. I mentioned it at Christmas time and the fact that God does things at the right time. And the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 3, there is a time for everything and there is a season for every activity under heaven. And then notice the contrast. There's a time to plant and there's a time to harvest. There's a time to scatter and there's a time to gather. This is the law of sowing and reaping. And there are many laws of sowing and reaping. Everything in life starts as a seed. An idea, a dream is a seed. Okay? Your life started as a seed. And everything in life starts as a seed. But unless the seed is planted, nothing happens. But once you plant it, you don't get the harvest immediately. You always reap in a different season than you sow. Some of you, you're being generous in an area and you go, I'm not seeing any generosity coming back to me. It's always in a different season. You always get the payback in a different season. You always reap in a different season than you sow. Ecclesiastes 11, verse 6, keep on sowing your seed, for you never know which ones will grow. Perhaps they all will. That's in the Living Bible. Now, this year, you got to decide the kind of seeds that you're going to plant. You can plant seeds of love. You can plant seeds of generosity. You can plant seeds of patience. You can plant seeds of kindness. You can plant financial seeds through giving. When you give away, when you tithe to God, when you give generously to others, you're planting financial seeds. And in the laws of planting and harvesting, you always get back more than you planted, every time. When I plant one kernel of corn, do I get one kernel of corn back? No, I get a stalk, a corn stalk, with several ears of corn, with hundreds, if not thousands, of kernels. One seed multiplies. You always get back more than you planted. Now, that's true positively in generosity, and it's true negatively in things like anger. Now, some of you have been planting good seeds in your life. I've been doing the right thing, Pastor. I've been doing the right thing. I've been planting seeds. I've been serving God. I've been reading my scriptures, and I've been doing all the things God wants me to do. but I'm not seeing the harvest yet. Well, for those of you who are discouraged as we start this new year, and you're discouraged because of the delay, here's a verse for you. It's a verse we looked at Christmas, Habakkuk 2, verse 3. God says this, "At the time I have decided, my words will come true." You can trust what I say about the future. This is God talking. It may take a long time, but keep on waiting. It will happen. Sometimes you need to go fast, and there's sometimes you need to go slow. You need to trust God's timing. Now, I want us to begin this new year with Solomon's prayer. It's a prayer that he prayed in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 58. Well, I love this in the Message paraphrase. It says this, "May God keep us centered and devoted to him, following the path, the life path that he has cleared, watching the signpost and walking at the pace and rhythms he laid down for our ancestors." I want you to underline the phrase, walking at the pace and rhythms that he laid down for our ancestors. That's who our ancestors, they're in the Bible. There's a rhythm, there's a pace in life. Sometimes you go fast, but not always fast. Sometimes you go slow, but not always slow. Now, before we end, I want to return to two of the verses that I shared with you in my last message, the Christmas message. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says this, "I tell you that the right time is now and the day of salvation is now." That's one thing you need to do fast. And here's another one, Acts 22:16. "Why wait any longer? Get up and be baptized, trusting in him to save you." I'm going to lead you in a prayer. If you've never opened your life to Christ, you need to start the new year with a new life. You need to do this now, not next week. Now, don't go one more day into the new year without Christ on your side and his spirit of love and power in your life. And if you haven't been baptized, what a better way to start than on the first weekend of the year, go out and at your campus, get baptized. Or sign up to be baptized at least so that you can start this new year right. Let's bow our heads together. I want to pray for you. Lord, I want to thank you for all the people who are here this first weekend in the new year. Help us to be sensitive to walk in your spirit, to know when to speed up and know when to slow down, to know when to go fast and to know when to be patient and wait. Now you pray. Say, Lord, help me to be sensitive to your timing this new year. Help me to walk in the Spirit. Help me in both the steps of my life and the stops of my life. Sometimes you put a roadblock in front of me and you stop me. Help me to be patient and to not worry about that. And when there's a circumstance that slows me down, help me to see that as a part of your timing and to trust you. And on the other hand, help me to take the steps as fast as possible when I need to trust you, when I need to obey you, when I need to follow you. If you've never invited Jesus Christ in your life, say, "Jesus Christ, come into my heart and life right now. I don't want to wait another day without you. I want to learn to trust you." Say that. "I want to learn to trust you, and I want this year to be your year." I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for checking out this message on YouTube. My name is Jay, and I'm Saddleback's online pastor. I want to invite you to take your next step by checking out our online community or help get you connected to a local Saddleback campus. Three things we have to offer you right now. First, learn more about belonging to a church family by taking Class 101. Second, don't live life alone and get into community with others by joining an online small group or a local home group in your area. Third, join our Facebook group to be more engaged with our online community throughout the week. Take your next step and learn where a local campus is near you by visiting saddleback.com/online or email online@saddleback.com. Hope to hear from you soon.